In the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, and we shall read again at verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It is especially verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The Lord hath done great things for his people. He has delivered them from the fearful pit and from the miry clay of sin and spiritual death. Why has he done this? The reason that he has saved his people was, as we considered this morning, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God will show to the universe what he has done for his people. He will make known, he will show to them his love and mercy and kindness to them in their salvation. Yes, and on the judgment day, the Lord Jesus will openly acknowledge and acquit his people. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God will show the world who his people are, how he has saved them. He will show them, he will show the world the glory of his salvation. That is what the Lord will do. He will show the goodness of salvation. But is there nothing for his people to do? Are they not required to show something as well? Yes, of course they are. They are to show the Lord's death till he come. They also will make known to the world the great things that God hath done for them. They will show whose side they are on. They will show the one whom they love. They will show Christ crucified. They will show him to a dying, sinful world. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Christ's death is showed forth. Literally, it is proclaimed. You proclaim the Lord's death till he come. And this tells us, of course, what the purpose should be of those who come to the Lord's table. They should not come to the Lord's table just to get a name for themselves, not just it's the thing to do. They have a purpose in view, a real true purpose, according to God's word. It is to proclaim the death of Christ. It is to show the Lord's death as well as that he is their Lord. To show others that they love him. To show them that they worship the Lord and serve him. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Well, with the Lord's help, we want to consider first the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Why Christ instituted it. In the second place, the preparation for the Lord's Supper. How believers should prepare themselves in coming to the Lord's table. And in the third place, the proclamation in the Lord's Supper. Ye do show, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. So first, the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Secondly, the preparation for the Lord's Supper. And thirdly, the proclamation in the Lord's Supper. The proclamation that takes place in the Lord's Supper. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And friend, if you have not come to Christ, you have no right to come to the Lord's Supper. I'm sure you know that. But I want you to know this also, that while you may not come to the Lord's Supper, you have a warrant to come to the Savior himself. So tonight, as you hear about the Lord's Supper, pray that you might receive the Lord's salvation. As you hear the Word of God, pray for that quickening grace. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. First of all, then, the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Paul received this revelation of the institution of the Lord's Supper. He delivered it to the Corinthians, and he's saying what he delivered to them, he received from the Lord. He received it of the Lord, and it is Christ who has appointed this sacrament, the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." Now, we might as well remind ourselves what a sacrament is. A sacrament is a holy ordinance. An ordinance is a means of grace. A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein, by sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. Represented, sealed, and applied. Key words in the Catechism answer. Represented, sealed, and applied to believers. So Christ appointed this sacrament, this means of grace. He instituted it in the night in which he was betrayed. As what the apostle says in verse 23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. It was at the last Passover with his disciples, just before he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified. And even though he knew what he was about to suffer, and his mind would be taken up with that prospect, even though he knew his dear disciples would become afraid and flee and forsake him, yet, in spite of all that he was about to suffer and go through, his thoughts are centering upon the disciples, and he gives them this sign and seal of his dying love to them. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." He took bread. And that is what the minister is to do also, to take the bread and to follow the example of Christ in giving of thanks, asking God to bless the bread and wine, and thereby to set them apart from a common to a holy use. Taking the bread and giving the bread. Jesus took the bread and he gave it to them. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And we're reminded of the shorter catechism question and answer, what is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a sacrament wherein, by giving and receiving bread and wine. This is the very first activities that we are confronted with in the Lord's Supper, giving and receiving bread and wine. So Christ gave to the disciples received it. The bread and the wine are given, and the bread and the wine are received. And it's telling us about Christ offering up himself a sacrifice, and Christ gives himself to us. He gives himself to us in the offer of the gospel. He said to the Jews, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." And as we've said before, what is a gift for but to be received? If God is giving Christ in the gospel, what is to be your response? Your response is to receive him. And so the sacrament is proclaiming the gospel right from the start. Of course, Christ has given himself to his people in a very special way. He has also given them the faith to receive Christ. So in the sacrament there is giving and receiving. By giving and receiving bread and wine according to Christ's appointment, his death is showed forth. As the Catechism says, and that's what the Apostle says in our text, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So the bread is a sign or symbol of Christ's body. The bread is showing the body of Christ. When Jesus says, "This is my body," he takes the bread, he says, "This is my body," as he breaks it and gives it to his disciples. Of course, he does not mean it is his literal body. Just as when Christ says, "I am the vine," he does not mean literally that he was a vine. He is like a vine. The bread is the symbol of the body of Jesus. So the wine is a symbol also, a sign or a symbol that represents the blood of Jesus that was shed. So the sacrament is a sign, it represents, it shows, and it is a seal. A seal is something that confirms. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is to seal or confirm the believer's interest in Christ, the believer's part, the part that the believer has in Christ, and the benefits of salvation. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a pledge of his promise, for example, that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So if you believe in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a seal of that. It's confirming this truth to you. It's like the promise is coming to you in bold letters. It's confirming it. It's standing out to you. It's assuring you of it. And how wonderful to think for a moment about the forgiveness of sins. Do we not all need that? Is there anybody here in the congregation tonight who doesn't need the forgiveness of sins? The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is telling us about the forgiveness of sins. I remember the quote by John Owen. He said that many poor souls will think that the good people in heaven, they got there because of their good works. They were so good. And that's why they got to heaven. John Owen said, "But not one of them in heaven got there except by the forgiveness of sins." We need our sins forgiven. The Lord Jesus says in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, when he says, drink ye all of it, he's giving them the cup of wine, symbolizing the blood. All of you drink of it. He says, verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For many. And this Savior is proclaiming to you the forgiveness of sins by his blood. And when he says, this is the New Testament, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, we need to think about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament times, the covenant of grace was dispensed or administered by sacrifices, the types and shadows looking forward to the coming of Christ. And it's called the Old Covenant because it was the old mode of administration, the way the covenant was carried out. But in New Testament times, we call it the New Testament because it's the same covenant of grace in the new administration of it, which is how? By preaching, by baptism, and the Lord's Supper. So when Jesus says, this is my blood of the New Testament, he's not contrasting the testament or covenant with the covenant of works. No, he's contrasting it with the old covenant of the Old Testament times. This is the new covenant or the New Testament in which his grace comes to us through the means he has pointed, like preaching, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. And he says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The blood of Jesus secured the benefits of the New Testament. The blood of Christ ratified the New Testament or the New Covenant. But the point that I want to leave you with is that the blood of Christ secured the forgiveness of sins. It is by the blood of Jesus that our sins are washed away. We need the blood of Christ applied to our consciences, don't we? Look to the blood. Come to the Savior and receive this wonderful salvation, having all your sins forgiven. Well, the cup, of course, represents the blood. The cup of wine represents the blood of Jesus. And therefore, the cup is a visible confirmation of the covenant. Again, it's what God promises. It is what he engages to do for his people. He promises. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a pledge of the promise. He promises. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a seal of the promise. He promises to forgive the sins of his people. But not only is the sacrament a sign, not only is it a seal, but it is a means of grace. And grace is communicated, conveyed to those who rightly receive the sacrament. The Lord's Supper is the instrument of conveying the reality. It's a sign, it's a symbol, the bread and the wine. But they are more than signs. They are the means God, Christ has appointed to communicate grace. It is the means of conveying the reality to us beyond the symbol. So in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, believers receive grace. They receive a clearer view of Christ. They receive a firmer hold of Christ. When a communicant believingly participates in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, his or her soul is fed. Jesus said, "This is my body." And when the person is rightly exercised, Just as the bread is present to our senses, so Christ crucified is present to our faith. And what the bread is to our body, the body of Jesus is to our soul. So as you receive physical nourishment by the literal bread, so you receive spiritual nourishment from the spiritual bread. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And the result is growth. Growth in grace. The graces of the Spirit are an exercise. The graces of the soul produced by the Spirit are increased. Love is increased. Patience is increased. Joy in the Holy Ghost is increased. Resolve and strength and determination to follow the Lord is increased. There is growth in grace. So we've been considering the purpose of the Lord's Supper. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is for the spiritual nourishment of God's people. It is for their growth in grace. It is to be an occasion of communion with Christ, and they express their love to Christ in the sacrament. It is for the further engagement in and to all duties that they owe to Him. Remember, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper intensifies our obligations. We begin to become more aware of just how indebted we are to the Lord. And the text explains clearly what the purpose of the Lord's Supper is. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We are to keep the Lord Jesus in our memory. The word remembrance means call to mind. We would never forget His name, but His name may be lost to us as to the warmth of our affections. As far as an effective remembering of Him is concerned, how often we do forget Him, how cold we become, how indifferent we become sometimes. And we are to remember Him, and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is for that. This do in remembrance of me, calling Him to mind, remembering Him in trust and in love and with gratitude. And how thankful we should be that Christ has appointed this sacrament to help us remember Him. And the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to show His death. Ye do show the Lord's death till He come. That's the reason Christ appointed it. Till He come. We considered this about 6 months ago. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is to be observed to the end of the world. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper makes us look back to His death on Calvary. But the sacrament of the Lord's Supper also points to His coming again the second time. It makes us look back into the past. It also makes us look forward to the future. Because the Lord's Supper is a pledge of His coming again to take His people home in order to feast on eternal delights in heaven. Here on earth is a spiritual feast that is shown in the Lord's Supper, in the symbol. But there in heaven, there will be an eternal feast unveiled. And so the sacrament of the Lord's Supper will give place to the heavenly supper in glory, with Christ Himself literally, which is far better. Well, let us come now into the second place, the preparation for the Lord's Supper. The preparation for the Lord's Supper. How are we to prepare? Well, one of the main ways of preparing for the Lord's Supper is by self-examination. We considered the subject of self-examination somewhat recently at Mass night. How do we examine ourselves, and what is the purpose of self-examination? Well, In preparing for the Lord's Supper, a person should examine himself or herself, especially in regard to faith. Remember that forgiveness of sins, the Lord's Supper is a seal of that. And the forgiveness of sins is received by faith. It is experienced by believers, those who come to Jesus. Their sins are forgiven. And therefore, only believers should receive the sacrament. Or else, coming to the Lord's table without faith, all you receive is the sign. All you receive is the bread, but you don't receive the body of Christ. And therefore you need faith in order to rightly observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. As it has been said, what is the point of receiving only a symbol? We need the reality. Because the Lord's Supper is a spiritual feeding. Again, as the bread and wine are present to our senses, so the body and blood of Christ are present to our faith. And the body and blood of Christ, Christ crucified, is truly and really received, although spiritually received, into the soul. Believers are taking to themselves Christ crucified and all the benefits of his death. So, do we have faith to feed upon him? That's the question for us. Do we have faith to feed upon him? Do we discern the Lord's body? Do we look beyond the symbol to the reality? Are we looking to Jesus himself and not just to an external ordinance? Looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Perhaps the answer to that question is not so certain. Well, ask yourself this. Do you desire spiritual nourishment? Do you want to be spiritually strengthened? Do you have the other graces of the Spirit? Do you have faith to feed upon him? Is there a desire to repent of sin? Do you love Christ? Does your heart go out to Jesus? Do we desire the coming of Christ? When you think about that you do show the Lord's death till he come, do you desire his coming? You say, that's a terrible event. It makes me frightened when I think about the coming of Christ. Well, you're thinking about only one aspect of the coming of Christ, for example. Do you desire the other things that will take place when the Savior comes? When the Lord Jesus will say to his dear people, come ye blessed of my Father. They will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. It will be a joyful time for his people. They will be finally and forever free from all sin and misery. Bodies will be resurrected at the coming of Christ. Do you desire his appearing? Do you want him to appear in your soul? Do you desire his presence? Do you desire to be comforted by Christ? Yes, these should be our thoughts and our heart's desires when we come to sit down at the table of the Lord. Well, we can leave it with you to examine yourself in order to prepare for the Lord's table. What is required to the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? It is required of them that would worthily partake, and that simply means that they would partake of the Lord's Supper in a suitable, proper way. It doesn't mean that they are worthy of it as to merit, but that they would have a right condition, that they would be prepared. That they examine themselves of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body, of their faith to feed upon him, of their repentance, love, and new obedience, lest, coming unworthily, they eat and drink judgment to themselves. Of course, the word damnation in the chapter that brings before us the supper of the Lord and as a sacrament of his body and blood, That word damnation in verse 29 can be translated judgment, and that judgment has to be explained by the context. It was speaking about outward afflictions. And so we try to explain these things in some way in order to remove needless objections. And in order to prepare for the Lord's Supper, we would highly recommend the larger catechism as we have before. Some people lead busy lives. If you have only 10 minutes to read another book besides the Bible, yes, there are other meditations to read. But the larger catechism gets right to the heart of the matter, tells us what the Lord's Supper is, tells us how to examine, tells us how to participate. So the larger catechism, question 171 for examination. And then there's the encouragement, question 172, which is very familiar with some. And we refer this to yourselves. Again, the Lord tells us what our attitude and purpose should be in coming to the Lord's Supper. We should come remembering Him. And how should we remember Christ? Well, again, in the attitude of trust, trusting in His merits, His precious blood, in the attitude of humility, recognizing the unmerited favor that God reveals to us, His grace. Salvation is all of grace. We should remember Him mournfully, with sorrow, godly sorrow, because sin was imputed to Him. He was made to be sin. God dealt with Him as a sinner and poured out His wrath upon Him. Should we not see what cause there is for sorrow when we think about the evil of sin and the suffering that Christ went through to put away sin? And we should remember Him with thankfulness that He suffered for us and that He saved us from so great a death. Well, are these graces in exercise? Trust, humility, godly sorrow, and gratitude, thankfulness. Consider then what is taking place in the administration of the Lord's Supper. When the Lord's Supper is observed, believers are showing His death. They're proclaiming His death. And therefore, they should do this exactly in remembrance of Christ. The Lord Jesus said, "Do this, or this do, in remembrance of Me. Remember Me when you do this." And why? Because the Lord's Supper is a showing forth of His death. It is a proclamation of His death. That's what you are doing. You are showing His death. And therefore, it should be your intention to remember Him and honor Him when you come to the table, so that you would mean to do what you are actually doing. There should be a correspondence, an agreement between what takes place outwardly and what is going on inwardly. There should be harmony. There should be a truthful partaking of the Lord's Supper. And as Charles Hodge explains in connection with the whole context of this passage, he says, "Those who come to the table, therefore, should come not to satisfy hunger, nor for the gratification of social feelings, but for the definite purpose of bearing their testimony to the great fact of redemption, and to contribute their portion of influence to the preservation and propagation of the knowledge of that fact of Christ crucified." In other words, those who come to the Lord's table should come with the intention to show the Lord's death till He come. That should be their purpose. To come with this purpose of proclaiming Christ's death, Christ and Him crucified. And this brings us to consider more closely the proclamation that takes place in the Lord's Supper, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The proclamation in the Lord's Supper. When the Lord Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body," we can see it with our eyes. We can see the bread, the literal bread, with our eyes. The bread is the sign of his body. The bread is telling us that his body was broken. We're showing the Lord's death. It's like a picture or a painting. You say, this painting is telling a story. The Lord's Supper is telling the story of Calvary, about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was arrested after he was betrayed. He was tried and accused, falsely accused. He was scourged. His body was broken, lacerated, broken, and he was crucified. The bread being broken tells us about the body of Christ being broken. I will smite the shepherd, we read in Zechariah chapter 13. I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Christ's body was broken. His blood, which is represented by the wine in the cup, his blood was shed. His blood flowed forth from his body. So the Lord's Supper is showing forth or proclaiming the Lord's death. We need to recognize, friends, that this is the real meaning of the word. This word here, ye do show the Lord's death till he come, it means to proclaim publicly. It means simply to publish, to proclaim. The Lord's Supper is a sign, it's a symbol to believers, but it's a proclamation. It is showing forth, it is proclaiming to the world what Christ has done. So a fact is being declared. What fact? The fact of Christ's death. The fact of redemption. And the Lord's people should come with the purpose of that fact being preserved, being proclaimed. God's people want Christ to be remembered. They want him to be known and acknowledged by all. At the same time, remember that there is a personal element in the Lord's Supper. Believers are doing their personal part to make Christ known. Yes, the Lord's Supper is showing, symbolizing. But it's not just the minister breaking the bread. There's people coming to the table. They're doing their part too. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You all of you coming to the table, all of you are showing his death. It's not just the preacher. There's the personal contribution. So believers coming to the Lord's table proclaim his death and what it means to them. They're seeking to declare what they think of him, what they believe concerning him. They're making a statement. They're proclaiming. They're professing. They're saying that they believe the sacrifice of Christ is all sufficient. It is well pleasing to God, and that they themselves acquiesce in his salvation. They agree with it. They're well pleased with it. They are well pleased with his satisfaction with what he has done. They're saying about Christ, he's all my salvation and all my desire. I rely on him. Oh yes, I need him for my soul as much as I need my food for my body. And he is indispensable. I cannot live without him. And he is the sole ground of my hope of salvation. My friends, this is the way that Christ has ordained for his people to proclaim him to others. Yes, there are other ways that Christ is proclaimed. And God himself has publicly set forth Christ, as we read in the book of Romans, that God hath set forth Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Christ was prophesied of in the Old Testament, but now God has shown him openly to the world in the coming of his Son. Another way that Christ, his death, is shown forth is by the preaching of the gospel. Christ is evidently set forth, crucified among the people, proclaimed by the preacher. Christ crucified is preached by the ministers of the gospel. You might say that Christ is set forth, even his death is set forth to a certain extent, by the godly lives of his people. They are, by their example, persuading others to follow Jesus, to come to Christ and follow him as well. But you see, my friends, the Lord's Supper is the specific ordinance that Christ has appointed in order to proclaim his death. This is for all of his people, not just particular ones, not just for particular offices in the church, but all of his people, all believers, proclaim the death of Christ when they come to the Lord's table. You see, my friend, you may not be a preacher of the gospel, but you can still be a proclaimer of Christ. And you can declare him not just by your words, but by your actions and according to this command of Christ, this do in remembrance of me. You think about Mary, the sister of Martha, when she came into the room with that box of ointment, and she broke the box and she poured it out upon the Savior, upon his head, and she was thereby anointing Christ for his burial. In that way, she was showing his death. Of course, she may not have been thinking about his burial. We don't know exactly if that was on her mind, but the Lord received it that way. She has done this for his burial. And Mary, the sister of Martha, didn't need to say a word. She said it all by her actions. As she poured out the precious ointment, she was saying to everyone that Christ was her precious Savior. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Think about the martyrs. No doubt many of them could speak very well for Christ, but at the same time, surely not all. No doubt many could not speak very well of Christ or for him. Some of them probably stammered. They might have got their theological terms mixed up. But though they couldn't speak for Christ, yet they died for him. There may have been some who were mute, who couldn't say a word at all, and yet they were burned at the stake for their Savior. So, friend, you may not be able to speak articulately for Christ, but can you live and work for Christ? Can you do for the Lord? The Lord is not calling us at this time just now to die for him, but to live for him and to declare his glory in his own way. Yes, we're called to suffer for Christ, but we should not search out ways to suffer for Christ. We only need to follow the path of duty and come to the sacrament of his body and blood. Christ was crucified. What matters is his suffering. and he only requires us to sit down at his table and receive the benefits of it. And that's how we show his death. That's how we show our love to him, not necessarily by our martyrdom, but by receiving the bread and wine according to Christ's appointment. Think about the woman who was a sinner. Well, we're all sinners, of course, but she was called a sinner. That's what everybody called her. She had a bad reputation, and rightly so. She was a sinner, but she came to Simon the Pharisee's house. Why? Because Jesus was there. And she loved much, we are told. Why? Because she was forgiven much. And she was showing her love by her tears. She was washing Christ's feet with her hair, drying his feet with her hair. And didn't that plainly tell others that Christ was her Lord? Christ was her Savior? Friend, has the Lord forgiven you? Are your sins forgiven by the precious blood of Christ? And should you not show to others how good the Lord has been to you? Do you not put your amen to this truth? Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Yes, are you not ready to praise the Lord and glorify his name because he has delivered your soul from the lowest hell? And how do you show your thankfulness for Christ's death in saving you from eternal death? By coming to his table, by taking the bread and drinking the cup, and doing so in remembrance of him, because that's what the Lord's Supper is, a showing forth, a proclamation of his death. How we need that holy enthusiasm that the woman of Samaria had. She told the other men, "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Child of God, you know he's the Christ. You know he's your Savior. And how you and I should long that others would know, that they would know that he is the Savior, and he is our Savior, and he may be their Savior too." But if we're not proclaiming the fact by coming to his table in the way that he himself has appointed, how can we expect others to know? And then there was Joseph and Nicodemus. It was love to Christ that moved them to do what they did. They prepared the body of Jesus for the burial. That's certainly what was on their mind. He had to be buried. But the occasion of their coming forward was what? It was the death of Christ. And the amount of spices was tremendous. It was indicating the greatness of their love to Jesus. They were declaring their love to him who died at Calvary. And as we noted last Sabbath evening, no doubt Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus have ever since been dear to the heart of Christians. They might not have said much for Christ, but they certainly acted for Christ. And the Lord made these timid disciples to become bold disciples. If I remember the story correctly, there was once a man who was applying to the session because he wanted to sit at the Lord's table. He was a kind of simple man. He couldn't articulate his thoughts or his words very well. The session were not sure what to do. And they were probably thinking of telling the man to wait at this time. Then at last the poor man said, "Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, I love what they did for the Lord Jesus." The minister said, "Give him the token." That was enough for the minister. That was enough for the session. And that's enough for the Savior. He doesn't need our well thought out words. He wants our tender heart. He says, "My son, give me thine heart. Come to his table in remembrance of him and show his death till he come." Think about David. If anyone suffered, he had suffered. Surrounded by enemies, a fugitive in the wilderness, he looked to the Lord as his refuge and his portion. David knew he wouldn't have to suffer forever. He wouldn't always be alone in isolation in the desert. The time was coming when the Lord would deal bountifully with him. He would no longer be lonely, but he would be surrounded by the Lord's people welcoming him. He cried, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." David would not forget his promises either. He would pay his vows. And he would do it in the company of God's dear people whom he loved. "I'll pay my vows now to the Lord before his people all." And David would also bring an offering to the Lord. "Burnt sacrifices of fat rams with incense I will bring, of bullocks and of goats I will present an offering." David, when he worshipped the Lord, brought something with him. David brought the ram or the bullock to the tabernacle. It was slain. It was offered up on the altar. And it was showing David's devotion to the Lord. Now, we don't offer sacrifices of the Old Testament. But if we're believers in Christ, we offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, and we show our love to Christ by partaking at the Lord's Supper. "I'll bring a thankful heart. I'll remember the Lord Jesus. I'll proclaim his death. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Ah, he is here in the sacrament. I'll show him to you. I'll declare him to you. He is the one whose body is represented in the bread. Do you see the bread broken? That's my Savior dying for me. Do you see the wine in the cup? I'll take that cup. It is the blood which was shed for many for the remission of sins. And I'll take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. He is my Lord and he is my Savior. And if you trust in him, he will be your Savior too. Come to him, friends. This man receiveth sinners, and he eats and drinks with them. It is a gospel table laden with the good things that Christ has purchased. It is a feast of fat things. There is fullness of joy in him. And look what Christ has done for me. What he has done is that which he can do for you. He has done for sinners, and he has washed me and made me happy, and he can do this for you as well. There's no happiness, there's no satisfaction like what he gives. Oh, come, Come to the waters of salvation. Let your soul delight itself in fatness, in fullness of joy. Don't believe the devil's lies. You won't get happiness following the pleasures of the world. Christ offers you the true bread, which came down from heaven, an eternal satisfaction, and the rivers of pleasure. Come, he is saying, come and dine. Receive and rest on Christ alone for salvation. My friend, all that you need for time and eternity is in him. Power and grace by his Spirit. Yes, that quickening grace to be made spiritually alive. It's in him. The grace of God and the riches of his mercy, his love and compassion and eternal happiness. It's all in him who died for sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Come to him and he will save you. He saved the worst of sinners. He can save you. Follow God's people. Follow the Lord's people to glory. Come to their Lord. Come to salvation. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. May he bless his word. Let us pray.